Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Dr. After Dark. Of course, keep those voice messages coming at 818-253-1693 and the emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Check out everything at drdrew.com. Also, sign up at drdrew.tv for the Ask Dr. Drew show. We set out a quick blast just when we're going live with that, and it's a live call-in show. We may have something very similar coming here at After Dark as well, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, on the weekends, we do the streaming show on multiple platforms, and you can call in and be a part of that. Tom Green, welcome.
All right.
To the show.
Yeah. It's good to be doing this again.
It's good to see you.
We've done this before, kind of thing
you
together,
and I have
right?
done a lot of things like this together.
Yeah.
The last time we were together, you were in the interviewer seat, yeah. and you were playing Larry King.
You've interviewed me. I've interviewed you before.
It was his WebOvision yeah. show at that time, his yeah. streaming show, right?
Yeah, I've been guest hosting Larry King. You did my WebOvision at my house years ago.
So let's just drill yeah. in on WebOvision for a second.
Yeah, we'll start.
Tom Green was way ahead of everybody on digital products. Like too far ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Yeah. There were people watching though back then.
I know.
Because there was nobody else doing a podcast.
Yeah.
There was nothing. So
you streamed podcasted it, right?
Well, no, it was just streaming. Yeah.
It was streaming.
It
yeah.
was, I don't think the word podcast really
right.
was around
exist.
Yet back in.
And you called it WebOvision.
Yeah.
The World Wide Web.
On the worldwide national internet. Yeah. From coast to coast on the national
yeah.
internet.
Yeah. And you did it out of your living room.
Yeah.
With your dogs.
Yeah.
I remember, you'll find this online somewhere, Nadav. I remember singing to a parrot.
Yeah, that's right. My parrot, Rex.
Rex.
Yeah.
My dog is named Rex since then, interestingly.
Yeah.
And your dogs were Huskies, which I loved, and they don't no longer with us.
No.
But that was like 15 years ago. I mean,
yes.
of course they're no longer with
they
us.
They passed away about just 2 years ago, though. Years ago, maybe, yeah.
One of them kept biting me, as I remember. One of my lines, one kept biting me.
Biting?
Yeah, there was some biting.
The dog was biting you?
Yes, there was biting.
Nibbling, maybe.
Nipping. Yeah, nipping.
But didn't actually draw blood or anything.
No.
That would
I get that breed. I like that breed a lot.
That was Cujo.
Cujo.
My dog Cujo.
Yeah. Cujo was not very tolerant.
Yeah, yeah. Those were good girls, you know. But it's, you know.
Do you still live up there?
I still live in the same house.
Wow.
No studio anymore. But I'm touring so much, it's kind of hard to have pets now, you know, because I'm never home anymore. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Did you find the parrot video?
Oh, we have parrot video.
No, I have not.
Take a look.
Well, you know, I got rid
I'm
of the parrot.
All these other videos for you.
What are the videos?
The ones that you specifically asked for when you said you wanted less tame videos for Tom.
Oh no, we'll get to that. Don't you worry. We're doing the nicey nice part. We're gonna put Tom through the paces later.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool.
Got to loosen him up. Talk about himself.
This is a pretty awesome facility here.
Yeah.
Your mom's house, ground zero.
This is it.
Mission control.
Yeah,
this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. What people can't see is when we look over this way, we literally see your mom's house. That's your mom's house over there.
It's unbelievable.
And this is Sickler. This is the Honeydew.
Yeah,
And then it's also my show over on this side.
It's amazing.
And you guys do the Two Bears One Cave here too, right?
Yep, Two Bears One Cave. Where my mom's at?
We're in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, it's good. It's well done. So you're living up in the hills still. Does Kathy Griffin live near you? I feel like that was the same area.
I don't know where she lives,
okay,
actually.
Okay, then
but,
probably not.
I've heard she lives up around there, yeah.
Okay, because I remember being up there once going, oh, I think Tom lives around here.
Yeah, everybody lives around there, though.
Yeah,
like everybody. So the center of Hollywood. I'm in the Hollywood Hills.
To be fair, it's a perfect...
Let's not give him exact location.
No, I know.
I'll give him the exact address.
To be fair, it's a perfect location to be able to get anywhere else.
Yeah, it is good, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a nice hillside and everything's cool up there.
I live in Hollywood.
I know that.
Pretty fancy, huh?
Yeah. You grew up where?
I'm from Canada, Ottawa, Canada.
What part?
And it's Ottawa, which is the capital.
Well, you're in Ottawa, not the, just the
Gloucester,
the province,
the East End,
Ottawa.
Okay. 2171 Monson Crescent.
And we've all, we all saw.
I don't live there anymore, but that was my address growing up.
Your parents still there?
I painted that house plaid.
Your parents still right?
My parents are living in Ottawa now. Yeah.
So this is the, we all saw that house on the Tom Green Show.
But not in that house anymore. They left that house.
Okay, but we saw that house on the Tom Green Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we saw Monica Lewinsky in that house.
That's right. Yeah,
Monica Lewinsky.
Absolutely.
Now you had you're one of the first to put her back on TV.
Yeah, so, well, she wasn't doing interviews at the time.
Right.
I mean, she, remember, she was the biggest news story in the world at the time.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't do any interviews.
Have you watched the Clinton Affair, I think it's called? The multi-part series on Netflix?
No, I haven't. No, no.
It's she's very good on it.
Okay, yeah.
She does an interview, and she talks about what happened to her.
All
it,
day.
It is fucking stunning what she was putting up with.
Well, she was a good sport. She was a real good sport. See, she was friends with somebody who was working on her show, one of our writers, and she was coming down to the show a lot, and then her brother was a big fan of the show at the time. And she we said, hey, let's do a like a 1 hour special with Monica Lewinsky, where we started out, we take her up to Ottawa, and we wake up my parents in the middle of the night, and they don't know Monica Lewinsky's in town, and they don't know I'm in town. We barge into my parents' bedroom with Monica Lewinsky. Now, you gotta remember at the time, like, it was sort of like the impeachment trial right now.
Yeah.
Like, it was all...
It was even bigger.
Like, it was...
Like.
Yeah, it was all anybody was talking about.
Because now it feels like this one, people are sort of... a certain percent of the population is like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
You know. And that was... Everybody was interested.
Yeah, we ended up having a one-hour sort of thing with her, and it was a great show.
You went out to lunch with your parents and her and stuff?
Yeah, we had the whole... The fun of that show is we had the whole international media converged on Ottawa just to try to get a shot of Monica Lewinsky. And then we made a big announcement. We went on a radio show and we announced that we're going to make an announcement the next day. So we went on a show to make an announcement.
About an announcement.
And the announcement was tomorrow there would be another announcement. And then we went on, and then we made that announcement on the roof of the Little Beaver Restaurant, it was called. The Little Beaver Restaurant, which is... was basically a little chip stand type of thing.
Yeah.
And it was the middle of winter, and we had to put a ladder up on the back of it, and we showed up there at, like, you know, noon on a Thursday or whatever. And we go up on the roof, and there's snow everywhere, snow on the roof, snow everywhere. And there was probably about 500 members of the international media there with cameras, satellite trucks showed up. It was outrageous.
Crazy.
So, but she was a good sport, and she was funny, and it was a real funny episode. It's on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube.
How'd you get into comedy?
I started doing stand-up when I was a teenager, actually. 32 years ago, I started doing stand-up at Yuck Yucks in Ottawa.
Oh, wow.
And
how did you get interested in that?
You know, I was always just kind of a goofy kid in school and, you know, trying to, you know, just kind of goofing around and class clown, all that kind of stuff. And I like public speaking.
I would
do really well in my public speaking
at a young age. That's
class.
Interesting.
Yeah, in the sixth grade, I did a speech on comedy and one for the school.
So you were interested in comedy?
Yeah, got
clearly.
Some big laughs. Yeah, that was when I was, you know, a little kid.
What'd you get your first big laugh at? What'd you say? Do you remember?
The big laugh came because the teacher, the judges tried to stump me, and I really really felt like it was unnecessary for them to have done this, but you know, they had to ask you a question after the speech. So she says to me, this is in front of the whole school, I'm like 12 or something like that. How old are you in grade 6?
11, 12.
Yeah, okay, cool. I was the age you were supposed to be.
We say sixth grade here.
Yeah, sixth grade. Yeah,
grade 6.
Yeah, grade 6. Yeah. I said that the first time. I said sixth grade. It's hard for me to say that.
I know.
It doesn't even feel normal saying that. Grade 6.
It's weirder to hear you say grade 6 than you to say sixth grade.
Grade 6.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The Canadians do things different up there. But so at the end of the speech, she says, you said in your speech that you can use comedy to get out of a difficult situation. But you didn't give me an example of that. Give me an example of that. And so a joke just popped into my head that I read in a joke book, but I just said it because it worked perfectly for it. I brought my report card from home from school. I gave it to my dad and I said, Dad, my marks are underwater. And when my dad said, "What do you mean?" I said, "They're below sea level."
That's good.
Yeah. That's but good. It was just such a massive laugh, I remember.
Yeah.
I think the kids, you know, had never, you know, obviously they'd never been to a comedy show before. We were all 12.
Right.
But also, it was just, I think they were relieved for me. Because the speech had kind of goofy elements in it. I had some props and stuff. It was pretty goofy. And there was a lot of laughs in the speech itself. But I remember it was such a massive outpouring of energy from the whole school.
The audience, yeah.
And I just felt such a rush from it.
Yeah,
I remember it to this day. And I'd never felt anything like it. And I went out into the schoolyard during the break while they were deciding who won. And
did you win?
Yeah, I did win. Uh-huh. And all the kids were coming up to me going, "How did you think of that so fast?" And, "Oh my, that was so hilarious." Mm-hmm. Right? And it was just the best feeling. I'd never really felt like kind of so popular. That's I felt really popular all of a sudden.
Yeah,
at school.
I get it.
All the kids liked me, you know?
No, I get it.
So I wanted to recreate that. So
I'm surprised of all the comedians I've spoken to, a lot of them don't have it. Many of them do.
Yeah.
Have a moment where they got hooked.
Yeah.
And that's your hook, right? You were in it.
That was when I knew I wanted to do comedy of some form.
Isn't it interesting,
form?
Though? It's almost like heroin. Yeah. Oh, that's what I want to be.
I started watching Johnny Carson all the time and really kind of absorbing comedy movies. But it wasn't until I was about 16 years old in high school that we discovered the comedy club, Yuck Yucks, in Ottawa, which is still there, still managed by
a big one.
Howie Wagman. He's still Howard Wagman still manages the club and runs the club, and I perform there all the time when I go home to visit the family for fun. We do shows there, but I remember that was it. I started doing comedy in high school, did it for all my high school years, and then I went back to school and studied broadcasting and started the Tom Green Show.
Was it similar to like what playing guitar would do for a musician in terms of what it did for you socially? Like if you were in a rock band and succeeded in a rock band, would it have been the similar kind of a...
Not really, no. No, it's like different. I mean like attracting babes and stuff.
It's part of it. I mean, you said it was being
it never
popular.
Really, it never really worked for me in high school, at least, you know. Yeah. First of all, like doing stand-up, you know, in 1989 when you're in high school, it wasn't sort of a... I mean, I'm sure it was big in New York City, and, you know, obviously it was stand-up comedy was a huge thing, but...
But not in the corner of Ottawa?
Yeah.
Not like, so much?
I think there were maybe like 6 or 7 people doing open mic in Ottawa.
Yeah.
But Norm MacDonald was from Ottawa, and Harland Williams would perform through Yuck Yucks all the time.
Little known fact about Harland, he was
Forest Ranger.
He was Forest Ranger in Ottawa.
One of my good friends, from Northern Ontario. But so they hadn't become famous yet.
Yeah.
But they were touring across Canada, and they were my favorites. And I'd go see Harland and Norm every time they came through, and would just sort of watch them in amazement, thinking, how amazing is that? That tomorrow they're going to go get on a plane, and they're going to fly off to Edmonton.
Yeah.
And they're going to get to do jokes and get paid to do it.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable dream that they were doing. And so, you know, it's kind of funny how things go full circle because, you know, I went and I started the TV show and public access and then went on MTV and all the stuff that happened. But you know, here, you know, 10 years ago, I started fully doing stand-up again, full-time, and I've been on the road now for the last 10 years, pretty much full time, all over the world, and I love it.
I saw your stand up with Steve-O back in Vegas. It was great.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Fun. Yeah, that was quite a while ago. Now that's probably six or seven years ago.
It was the weekend before I had my prostate surgery.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and you were very kind. It was a very important conversation you had with me about not becoming the guy with one ball or not becoming the guy with no prostate.
Yeah, but cancer survivors.
Yeah, here we are. But you said talk about it, but don't make it your story. You know, sort of thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's I've found it's been really a nice side effect of having filmed my whole surgery. Right, we did film my whole surgery, and we put it all on MTV. It was the last episode of the Tom Green Show. It was called the Cancer Special, and I have had hundreds and hundreds of people write letters and emails, and come up to me after my stand-up shows who. Found their testicular cancer because of that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
And they come up to me with their wives, with like tears in their eyes, thanking me for putting that show on the air because they were 16 years old and they, you know, had felt something weird and they were embarrassed and they'd never even occurred to them and it would be cancer and they went right. to the doctor for it. So I do try to, I don't shy away from talking about testicular cancer in my stand-up. I mention it sometimes, you know, because it's, I poke fun of myself a little bit, but also, I know that just talking about it is good because early detection is the key. Yeah, that's very important. That's your way of surviving from all this
stuff. For many cancers, that's true. Yeah. And it was our mutual manager, Howard Lapidus, who called me, told me, and said, "Where do I take him?" I said,
"That's right.
I know exactly where to go."
That's right. And you helped me very much.
I just know where you get. At that point in history, I know exactly where to get the surgery done.
Got me into the good hospital
and
here in LA.
And that worked out well.
Yeah.
But we lost Howard recently.
Yeah.
Which is
crazy. Rest in peace, Howard. We love you, man. We know he's probably listening up there to the podcast, right?
If it's possible, he is. If there's somebody who could do that,
sure,
it's him.
We're broadcasting into heaven, I'm sure, right?
Why not? The Webovision.
Yeah.
What version of the national Webovision broadcast goes to heaven?
Yeah, this one right here. He's listening right now. Well, you know, I mean, we both got to work with the great, the late great Howard Lapidus.
And for a long time, John Ferreter.
Yeah, and John Ferreter.
And he was my agent for a long time.
Yeah.
And Howard was the manager, and they both died within like 3 days of each other.
They both died.
Both young.
Yeah, they both died this year.
Yeah.
And, if it wasn't for Howard, I wouldn't, my show would not have been on MTV. You were on MTV at the time with Adam Carolla doing Loveline. And I was doing my show in Canada. In fact,
I'll never forget, he went up there to see
Mike Bullard show,
But there's like a comedy week up there or something, the comedy festival, I think, must have been part of.
I was on the Mike Bullard show.
But he goes up, Howard went up there, I think, for the festival, and he found you, and I'll never forget this phone conversation. He went, "Wait to see this one I found up there. You think Adam's funny? Wait to see what I found in Canada."
Yeah, yeah.
And that was that.
And then 6 months later, we were on MTV, it was crazy.
So I think you know this. I was a huge fan. We have lots of, when you really think about the overlaps in our lives, we had the same executive producer as the Tom Green show I had on the HLN show, Bert Dubrow.
Yes. Love Bert Dubrow.
Yeah. And so it's weird. We have the same everything. But I was a huge fan of that show.
Yeah.
Huge fan of that show. And it did not last long enough.
The new Tom Green show.
The new Tom Green show. The one with the talk show.
Yeah. I just put a clip of that up on my Instagram today,
actually. That was a great show.
It was fun. You know, I loved doing a nightly talk show. It was sort of the reason why I wanted to do comedy in the first place was because I loved David Letterman. He was my hero all through high school. Mm-hmm. I loved Late Night with David Letterman.
That was Kimmel's thing too.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how funny it was and how excited I would be to watch it. I would record it every night on VHS.
Betamax.
Yeah. it was fun doing a nightly talk show. I was really enjoying it. I was definitely would have loved to have kept doing it. But you know, I sometimes think that I'm kind of glad that I didn't end up doing a late night talk show for 20 years.
It would have pigeonholed you.
I just feel like it would have been exhausting.
And
stressful.
Yeah, yeah. Most guys that do those shows seem pretty stressed out.
Just seem like every day, new show every day.
Yeah.
That being said, if somebody called me tomorrow and asked me to do it, I would do it instantly. Yeah. But that's because
HLN show every day, and that was a little different. It's a news hook show. But that was not that hard for me because that was just people tossing stuff out that I reacted to.
Yeah.
Rather than having to craft some resistant celebrity who doesn't want to really be there find a way to make them talk. I was an early and huge fan of Freddie Got Fingered.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think history is continuing to be and will even more so be kind to.
Yeah, it's been really kind
of... It was ahead of its time.
It's been kind of a weird couple of years, actually. Because it always had a
following.
Sort of a cult following.
Yep.
But the last 2 or 3 years... Something's happened. I don't know. I think somebody did a review of it on a big internet channel that a lot of young folks listen to.
Yeah.
And it's just become this thing where everywhere I go, people are coming up to me and saying, "Daddy, would you like some sausage?" or shouting out lines like, "Do the backwards man," or "I'm X-ray cat," or they know all the lines for the movie, and everywhere, like everywhere in the world, every day.
That to me is, that's good news.
To kind of paint a picture of how weird my life is, like, I don't think a day has gone by in the last 20 years where somebody hasn't walked up to me and said, "Daddy, would you like some sausage?"
Oh, I'm guilty of having done that too.
Like every
times, so,
like every so single day.
I've been a couple of
like every
days.
Single day.
It's a great line.
Like not one day.
It's
like,
a great line.
Like, if a
I
day
think
goes,
I sung it to you. Yeah. Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Yeah, every day. Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. To me, that makes perfect sense.
It's cool though. I feel it does actually really kind of make me happy when that happens, because you know, it was so brutally sort
panned.
Of panned by
yeah.
the critics.
Yeah.
And they were so mean about it.
So, listen,
and they were so sure of themselves about how that they were right and I was
and
wrong.
I hadn't seen it at that point. That's what made me want to go see it. And I thought, history will not be kind to these people.
Yeah.
History will vindicate this movie. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I got this line I do sometimes in my stand-up show when I talk about Freddie. I don't really do it anymore. But sometimes I'll talk about the old show and stuff in my stand-up. Not that often. Usually I'm just sort of telling jokes and doing new material. But sometimes I talk about stuff like that, and you know, I'll say, you know, yell out a line from the movie, and everyone in the audience will start
sausages.
Yelling out lines. They'll
yeah.
yell out all these lines, and I'll act out the lines.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, now somebody shout out one line from the Academy Award-winning film, The English Patient. Silence. Right?
There's not one.
So I feel pretty good about it. I'm thinking of taking it on Broadway, actually. Yeah, Freddie Got Fisted, I'm going to call it. So, yeah, Broadway
can
show.
Can I be in it?
Yeah, Daddy, would you like some sausage? Absolutely. Yeah, you can sing it. You can sing. Daddy, you can do an opera version.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Daddy,
I'm
would you like
in.
Some sausage?
And we've lost also. What's the name of the play that your dad?
Rip Torn also passed away. Yeah,
and
this year.
I wondered if that was maybe some of the resurgence too, because that guy Rip is such a fucking genius.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this was one of his funnier shows. You know, I sort of can't get enough of Rip Torn.
Yeah,
myself.
He was a great. Good old boy on the show, you know.
Oh, he was
you
know, and he such an alcoholic, man.
Yeah,
he's like old school alcoholic. He like was real deal stuff.
He was cool.
Yeah,
he was cool. We filmed the movie in Canada, in Vancouver, and on the weekend, like he'd go fishing, and come back with like fresh salmon that he'd caught, and bring it and they cook it up for the crew and stuff, and. He was a good guy.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I was sad. I had sort of lost touch with him in the last few years.
I mean, like, that's another genius. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, so because this is sort of something that I've been kind of, and I'm not even really sure the question I want to ask yet, but I do know I want to talk about this a little bit more, about the fact that two of our very close friends and business associates passed away this year.
Yep.
For me personally, that's really the first time I've ever had anybody close to me die.
Okay.
Ever. You know, like I've been very fortunate. I haven't had any close friends die. I haven't had any close family members die. My grandparents are the only people that have really been close to me that have passed away.
Okay.
So, you know, I find myself, you know, almost every day, certainly at some point, I'll think about John or Howard, and then I'll sort of remember that they are no longer with us.
Yes.
And then it kind of like re-traumatizes the whole I just start to get sad again about it. And I just really, I'm you know, it's like, it's not like I didn't think about death constantly before this happened, you know? Like I'm definitely constantly.
It's a mood lifter.
I'm constantly, I think maybe it's because of having cancer. I'm constantly, you know, in sort of a state of sort of near panic. You know, gratitude to be alive.
Okay, so gratitude
but
will
panic
get you
about
this.
Impending sort of what's next, when's it coming next.
I get it.
You know?
And that's one of the things that cancer does to you. It's like it makes you feel like, all right, this was so out of the blue, so shocking.
Yeah.
When's the next shoe going to drop?
Every little pain, every little cough
that's a common
is to
thing.
Me is sheer panic inducing. But now this has happened.
So John's death was bizarre.
Yeah, John's death
was
definitely
very unusual. Howard had a cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah.
But they were both too young. And it does make you put everything in perspective and start wondering about that stuff for sure. It
like,
should.
Like, here's the thing that, like, I mean, not to get all philosophical or religious, but the thing that I find has been interesting and sad and, you know, in some ways kind of, I don't know, thought-provoking is, you know, when that happens, when I'm reminded that each day that yeah. they're no longer with us,
yeah.
like, I'll sort of say something to them in my head. Mm. Like, hey, you know,
that's nice.
Guys, you know, I feel bad that this happened to you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening up there. And I am having this sort of actual conscious belief that they're actually getting the message.
That a connection.
Like when I'm saying to yeah. you, like that Howard's yeah. probably listening to this, I actually kind of believe that,
yeah.
which is sort of surprising to me.
Also very common.
Yeah.
And I would never discourage anybody from that.
Yeah.
Some of it is our brains can't handle loss.
Yeah.
Like we just like can't fully get our head around it, which is why when it comes back to you as a direct conscious thought, it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard to stay with it.
Yeah.
Our brains don't let us. And that's kind of a normal way of dealing with grief. It's a normal way of dealing with loss. And it's not anything unhealthy to have a relationship with whatever part of that person is left behind in you.
Yeah.
Which I believe is, I actually believe that that's more substantial than we know.
Yeah. I start thinking like, you know how people say that, oh, maybe we're all living in a computer simulation?
Well, or wait, listen.
Like the Matrix?
But listen, man, we're getting kind of way out there here. But I did a couple podcasts with a guy named Sean Carroll. Yeah. And he will explain to you, he's a Caltech professor, that we're all just a giant wave equation, a wave function. Yeah. It's just, we're part of a wave function. We're emergent properties of that wave function.
Energy, and
it's not even, it's below that.
Okay.
And space-time is actually an emergent property of this wave.
Yeah.
And so space-time doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
And there's such a thing called entanglement, which, you know, if I look at an electron here and look at an electron at the other side of the universe, they will be related.
Related, connected.
Connected.
And that's sort of like...
It's entanglement.
Kind of, I start thinking about that kind of stuff.
Our brain can't go there
and then
in any meaningful way.
And the idea of it being potentially a computer simulation, I think about. You know?
Well, at very
and I go,
least...
Okay, well, if it's a computer simulation, maybe the idea that these friends of ours who were close to us passed, but they really went to this other dimension and were still able to kind of communicate with them.
But I will tell you, because we only have this evolved little instrument in our skull...
Yeah.
It is the computer simulation. It's sort of an interface with the world.
Yeah.
Almost the way your screen is on your computer.
Yeah.
All that stuff up there we make meaning of, it's nothing, a bunch of pixels that are just, it's an interface. And our brain makes an interface with the world. We're not seeing the world as it really is. So in a sense, it's a simulation of our own brain's functioning.
Yeah.
Right? In a sense. But who the fuck knows? We can't, our brain can't answer those things. Don't spend a lot of time on it.
I know. I am spending far too much time on it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. You can stay with the gratitude.
Yeah.
That's a much more productive thing. Are you depressive by nature?
Well, let's see. How do I answer that?
Yes or no?
I'm doing a lot better now. I think I've gone through phases in my life.
I had major depression when I was 19. Major depression.
I think I went through a phase in my life when I was probably drinking a bit too much. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, they always say like alcohol is a depressant.
Mm-hmm.
And like you kind of go, yeah, but I don't really believe you because when I drink, I'm having so much fun.
I'm feeling better, yeah.
And you know, when you're 20s, you know, you bounce back from a hangover the next day and it's no problem.
Yeah.
But then I think around like 40, you know, I'm 48 now. Around 40, I was probably drinking as much as I've ever drank. Mm. But all of a sudden, my body started reacting to it differently.
Shocking.
And I'm touring all the time doing stand-up, and I'm late nights, early mornings, and drinking. And I did sort of feel a period of sort of feeling pretty down. But, you know, I haven't quit drinking. Let's not get crazy.
You're a Canadian after all.
But I've cut way back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't drink when I do stand-up. So if I go on the road and do stand-up for a weekend. I don't drink the whole weekend.
Yeah, you're not the ripped horn variety of drinker.
Yeah, right? I don't drink the whole weekend. Yeah. I'm on the road every weekend, so I only really drink on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah. We call this sort of incipient. Like you may have some problems with your relationship with it, but you still haven't lost control.
Yeah, I don't even think I have problems with my relationship with it now.
Right.
And I think when I was drinking too much, it was kind of like a delayed realization that I was 40. Like I was still thinking, it was kind of like, I was still thought I was sort of like 20. In college or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just kind of, the party kept going a little, maybe longer than it should have.
Yep.
And now I'm kind of realizing that I feel so much better if I haven't had, you know, a drink like in a week, which is, you know, happens every couple of years. But, and when I do drink, I try not to go crazy.
Yeah, good.
And I feel pretty good now. Yeah.
No, you got it before it became a problem.
Yeah. Quite literally. Now, that being said, like, I think like a certain amount of depression, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, for me personally, like, I think it's very creatively helpful. It's a productive thing.
Does the comedy help you manage it? Is the laugh therapeutic?
It helps me manage it. It's definitely a cathartic experience doing stand-up. It's an adrenaline rush that makes me feel better. I feel great after the show. Leading up to the show, I feel nerves and anxiety. And
every
after
show,
the show,
all
I feel,
these years.
Yeah, after the show, I feel great.
All these years, you still feel nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's you know, there's definitely some energy there. But, you know, I even outside of that, like, just like the idea of thinking about dark thoughts or you know, we're all going to die. Thinking about that is sort of like a comedy, you know,
killer
machine.
No, oh,
no,
it makes it.
No, because you need to think about dark things.
Oh, interesting.
And then try to make fun of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you think about, and I think, you know, the concept of impending doom, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we are running out of time is a big motivator for me. You know, like, I can't really procrastinate and do it later because, like, you know, I could be dead later,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And I got a lot of shit I want to do before that happens.
That's good.
So, you know, I think, like, it's like, I do think that if we never died, like, if there was no such thing as death, if we were going to live forever and we knew that, I think nothing would have ever been accomplished in human civilization.
Right.
We wouldn't have built the pyramids. We wouldn't have invented the wheel. We'd just be sitting around on the ground, you know, eating like, you know, grass or something
pyramids,
like that.
Pyramids probably not, because those are for dead people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was. Yeah, yeah. I think the aliens did that anyways. Oh. But
So interesting. That's fascinating to me. And so you use it, and I believe that the gratitude and forgiveness, those sorts of emotions, are extremely important for people. And that keeps it from wearing you down, the negativity.
Yeah.
And so how nice that you can use it as a creative force, too. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And that's something that's important for everybody, I think, is to come to terms with that reality. And to use it creatively sounds...
The other thing that I've noticed happening is, you know, I'm 48 now, and I'm just sort of getting to that time in my life where I'm realizing, like... Like, when I was young, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was super stressed because I was really stressed out about the future.
Yeah.
And now there's just, you know, so much less of my future to ruin.
Yes.
So, yes. I mean,
And you've achieved a lot. You should feel sort of, you should have a chance to sort of take that in and feel good about it.
Yeah, when I was in my 20s, I thought, okay, if I'm not successful now, what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
Right.
But now, like, you know, like, what, I got like 11 years left or something like that? I mean, you know, I'm fine.
A few more.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know.
How dare you?
I'm just saying, though, it's kind of like, I do feel now that, like, you know, I've gotten to almost 50, and, you know, if for whatever reason I stopped working, well, you know, I'd probably find a nice hobby.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
I'd be very relaxed, like carving, like whittling ducks.
That'd be your thing,
little
duck whittling?
Yeah, get into like carving balsa
duck
wood
decoys.
Ducks. Yeah,
like,
on a park
like killer,
bench somewhere.
Killers of ducks.
And I'd be happy with that.
I have a crazy question. I don't even know why I'm asking it, but have you ever worked with Paul Rubens?
I've never met Paul Rubens, but I love Pee Wee Herman,
I just got a feeling you guys would have some pretty interesting stuff together.
I love him,
Me too.
Yeah. I know Bert Dubrow loved him too, so and I think has worked with him. But
oh, he has?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
No, I'm jealous of Bert.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next phase here, Tom.
Yeah, okay.
This is the part where it's no longer friends, no longer fun.
Oh, okay.
You think you had some dark thoughts before. Your mom's house brings you plenty of cool people to stimulate your dark thoughts.
Yeah, okay.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So this is a video entitled Being Friends with Wolves.
Okay. Oh, wow. I like that.
Here it is.
Yeah, we're going to start you off a little light. Just let me know what you think of this.
These are shocking videos.
Maybe not. You just give us your thoughts about these cool people.
being friends with wolves.
Yeah.
Crouched down and made sure to keep my... As I enter the wolves' territory, I am so excited.
Monitor went
I
up.
Crouched down and made sure to keep my energy calm. It's important to greet a wolf openly.
I don't... It looks like
so
it
they
to me.
Can learn everything about you.
Yeah, I almost don't want to watch it either.
This means keeping low.
I don't want to
so
see
you
it.
Are less
She's masturbating the wolf. She's masturbating.
Oh, that's what she's
doing? No, she's not. No.
That's what it looks like.
No, this is a how-to on how to befriend wild wolves.
Okay. Is she not masturbating the wolf?
Not in that clip.
Is that a wild wolf?
That is a wild wolf.
That's a wild wolf.
Canada?
That's a wild
wolf. You know what wild wolves in the snow look like.
Well, I figured they were at the zoo or something like that.
All right, so keep going.
Wait, is it going to bite her? I don't want to see it bite her face.
No. There's no blood.
No gruesome.
There's no gruesome gore.
It made me a little nervous, too.
Okay. And this stuff.
Look what she was doing to that dog a few seconds ago.
Suddenly, it gets crazy. Not knowing what's going to happen, the anticipation of it is actually terrifying.
Me. Yeah, it's bothering me.
I'm terrified right now.
Okay, go ahead.
When wolves greet, they will want a lick inside your mouth. Oh. This is perfectly normal for them, and this is what they do to one another on a daily basis.
Wow.
If you can tolerate it, you should allow this, as they will trust you more and can learn everything about you as a person.
Okay.
Body movements should be calm and fluid.
The other mouth
movements
kiss.
Will All frighten right. and shock them, making you look threatening. So gently is the answer.
Yeah,
this is why women are often more readily accepted by wolves than men, as men naturally exhibit heavier movements, have a taller stature, and a deeper voice.
These are wild wolves?
Yeah, these are wild
wolves. So far, I like this, actually.
Yes, I know. Yeah. So far, it's like I'm stunned.
Yeah.
And so here are some tips and tricks on how to make sure that, you know, you come out of the experience alive.
Uh-oh.
There were lower ranking wolves, and it was important to make sure I greeted the wolves in order of ranking and make sure to ignore the lower wolves when the leaders approached, which is a little sad, but safer for them, as it means they will be told off far less.
Told off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Despite Marit being the leading female, Braga the large male was indeed top of the pack, and he had decided that my ear and tummy tickles should be just for him and was not slow in coming forward with his snarls and piercing stares at Marit to let her know that he wasn't happy that she was commanding my attention.
How does that woman not just lose it right then?
Yeah, well, she's...
Okay. Is this it?
It's quite hard to keep still during a wolf altercation,
especially
when it's happening right in front of your face, all teeth and snaps.
Oh
but it's
my
very
God.
Important not to move in case of redirected aggression onto you. The altercations only lasted a little while, and it soon all died down.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's cool. I don't believe they're wild wolves, though. I just think that she's like at like a zoo or something.
No, this is a Norwegian wildlife national park.
Yeah, yeah, it's like some park, and they got like coin operated machines full of, you know, kibbles and bits right behind her.
Yeah, when you go to the front, there's a wax wax copy of the wolf.
Yeah, exactly. That's
all right. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah, that's the end of this one.
Well, that was a very nice video.
Yes, that was.
So I'm
maybe
I'm almost confused as to why you showed it to me.
Cleanse your palate, please, with the poo diver, just for a second, just so Tom get a load of the kinds of.
I like that video.
You want to go straight? I was
straight to pull the poo diver. Just
no,
so it gets a sense.
Really okay, but I do like some nice videos.
We can build up. We can build up.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do, Drew, I work for you.
Let's build.
I'd say give him a glimpse of it, just a glimpse, and then we'll come return to it later. There it is.
Okay. Poo diver. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
See in the sewers.
Okay. Enough. Enough.
Nice.
Good enough.
Poo diver.
Poo diver. In leather.
That is wild stuff.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Let's go on with Cool Charles from Match.com.
Poo diver. Okay.
Yeah.
I got to admit, that wolf thing, I was expecting some shocking ending.
That
was actually kind of nice.
But when we go back to Poo Diver, you're going to show Tom the hair version of the Poo Diver. Yes? The hair.
The
toupee.
That's later, later in the clip.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Here we go. This is Cool Charles.
So
a little
a little setup on this is this lady was talking to Cool Charles over here on Match.com. And then instead of sending her a text, he decides to send her a video.
Here he is.
Okay.
What's going on? It's Charles from Match. Just wanted to do a video instead of a text or a phone call. I've been here, I don't know, since 7:30 doing some little video that, editing some video that's going to be going up on YouTube.
Okay.
My new office. I really like it, not going to lie. And it's got this really cool view. Where are we? No. There we go. Hey. There we go.
Was he funny?
Anyway, we haven't talked, I think, since Saturday. So tonight I'm looking at Lily's in Union Square. Oh, say around 8 o'clock, 8:15, and I'm gonna be in a fantastic mood then because I have so much to do. I'm looking at my to-do list all around. I've like posted.
I'm tiring of Charles.
And I got my iced latte.
Wow, this guy's pretty.
He's pretty slick. Cool.
Slick. He's got a nice view.
But anyway, shoot me a text and let me know if 8 o'clock works. I can do 8:30, but a little bit early it might be tough because I do have a lot to do. So shoot me a call. And did I say my name in the beginning? It's Charles.
I feel so bad for this guy. How did this end up on the internet? So this girl saw this and went, oh, I'm going to show this to everybody.
Yeah, she posted it on Twitter, and he actually reminded us of one of the original cool guys. Does he remind you of anyone that you've seen before, Drew?
It kind of does, but I can't place it.
Good morning, Julia.
Yes.
It's me, Joe. Just wanted to say hi. Wish you a great day. Tell you that meeting you yesterday and getting a look at you was probably one of the greatest moments of my life.
This doesn't end well,
you
Tom.
You are so beautiful.
This does not end well.
You don't
well.
Know how beautiful
over a few days, more and more aggressive videos come her way.
Oh, yeah.
Can you show us where...
But it's been sitting in my mind when you said to me you want to go back with your ex-boyfriend. Please erase him from your memory. Don't ever go back in the past. I know. Because I've been there.
Here we
go. And I understand when, you know, you're trying to find somebody and you go on dates.
Stalker.
Nothing compares to your ex. But there is that better person out there.
Take me to and where
Julia,
he goes.
I promise you, it is me.
Oh, God. How bad it gets. He gets pretty intense.
Anyhow, I'm heading off to work. This is my cute little home. Everything you see behind me. I built everything. Every square inch from crown molding to
Tom's
chair rail.
Quite
to
handy.
Floors to lighting to plumbing. Mm-hmm. Doors, windows.
Cool guy fans, too.
Total package, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, which one of those videos would you rather get? Would you rather get Charles or would you rather get Joe?
I'd rather. Charles is just uncomfortable. I feel sad for him. Joe, I can see where this is going right away.
This guy, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly.
You like Joe?
I mean, I wouldn't want to get either of those videos.
I would not.
So this is the type of guy you're getting.
Now, if I was a lady, if I was a nice lady,
But go, take Tom to where Joe goes.
Yeah.
Joe, when he gets a little less, I don't know, when she's not responding.
Open up your heart to me.
No, I mean that different video, not this video.
Oh, okay.
The other one where he gets aggressive, he's been disappointed by her lack of responsiveness.
Yeah,
I don't know if I have that one.
Where do you get these videos?
But I think this is
these are just on the internet, or
people send them in.
Nice.
This is Joe's natural progression.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh wow. What's this?
What is this?
Is this the new Star Wars? Or
do they have ham boning in Canada, Tom?
What's ham boning?
You're about to see.
Okay. All right.
A little ASMR.
Nice.
That was a seizure.
Yeah. I like that. Is this in the other room or?
Is he nearby?
Is this in the other studio?
Oh, that is not okay.
Wow.
What is this from?
I don't know. It's nice though. I like that one. That's the first one that.
It is the kind of thing you'd find up in Canada, I suppose.
This is the first one that makes sense that you're playing it during the show to me. You know, other one was kind of like, the wolves was like a real nice Audubon, or not Audubon, but nature.
Yes.
Felt like,
National Geographic.
Why are we looking at
Excuse
that?
Me. Yeah.
Now, the last one was kind of weird.
Challenging, yeah. But
this one feels like fucked up in the right way.
Yes, this is fucked up in the right way. This looks like
Hey, you want to play tic-tac-toe in my face, man?
This is my friend, Robert. Robert Paul Champagne.
This is your buddy?
My buddy.
X.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing?
He's trying to maim himself.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I think...
Is he cutting himself?
No, he's playing tic-tac-toe in his face.
Oh, okay.
Does it say pig on his chest also?
Yeah. You want to put pig on me, man?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pig. Yeah, let me know, man.
Or does it say slut? It says slut.
Okay.
Yeah, pig.
Well, that's good.
But hold on. I think I know that room. I think that's the bird room, guys. I think that is the bird room. I do. And you notice there's a window with sun coming through, which is a rare, rare sighting in his apartment.
Are you sure that's sun?
Is that a light?
Maybe. I think you would know better than I would.
I think that's the bird room.
It sure is weird times we're living in, isn't it?
Like I went and visited this young man.
Yeah.
I went to New York and went to his house.
Uh-huh.
And I said hi.
Was he just sort of needed some help from you? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting times we're living in, though, that everyone's got these cameras. They can upload to everybody.
Yeah.
We're sharing all this information. We're looking at all of this stuff.
Yeah. I'm not
this
sure
is just flying around. We're
I'm
all
not
connected.
Sure we were meant to see all this.
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
Black guys who love to fuck and fuck good.
Okay.
If you're a hot black guy and you want to fuck me at $23.95, if you want to move in, you can move in, but you got to fuck me. I need to be fucked a lot, man. Get free food, free rent, and everything else, man. Here's a deal, man.
Now, do you pick all the videos, Drew?
No, I don't pick any videos. None.
No.
Zero. They're sent in by the fans.
Yeah.
And Nadav takes care of picking them. Now,
okay, cool. I feel kind of good that you weren't involved in choosing this video.
You should be.
Yeah.
But
it feels like it would be odd if you had said, let's play this one.
Well, I did bring up the poo video.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah. But Robert Paul here tells me that he really didn't mean it when he said this.
Yeah, okay.
He really didn't. Because I asked him, I said, you're asking for people to pee on you and beat you. Do you mean it? Oh, no, I was just having fun.
Just goofing around.
Just
yeah.
goofing around.
Yeah.
As is the custom.
Just kind of having fun.
All right. Should we see dressing up as baby? And this
sure.
one, this one is
yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
This whole thing is.
My name is Phil, and I like to dress as a baby.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
I like to wear nappies. It's uh-huh. like a regressor. It's uh-huh. actually very comfortable.
Yeah.
I just like to sit in them.
Yep.
I support Phil's lifestyle choice.
Yes.
Clearly, you do, huh?
I like this.
You like this one?
This one I like.
These guys are always interesting.
Yeah.
I found out he liked to dress as a baby after being together for about a year.
Yeah.
When I see him wearing his nappy, I kind of feel indifferent.
Yeah.
I like to pee in them, but
yeah, of course you
not
do.
The other stuff.
Uh-huh. Not the shit in them.
It's
okay.
Just not
you
me
draw,
at the moment.
Draw the line somewhere,
yeah.
Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Stern was playing a bunch of ASMR videos on the show today.
Yeah, I don't know what that stands for.
What does it stand for? It's these whispering videos.
Okay. ASMR.
What does ASMR stand for? You guys know?
Yeah. We'll Google it.
Right. All right. It's, have you ever heard them?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, maybe you guys could play less ASMR. It's very bizarre. ASMR.
I mean, that white guy that looked like Santa was doing some ASMR.
No, that was not ASMR. I don't know what that was. That was a seizure. That was a neurological
okay.
problem.
All right.
ASMR definition stands for autonomous sensory. What?
Meridian response.
Okay.
I don't think that's what this is.
God, there's just so much stuff to know.
Yes, there is. There is, you my know? Friend. It's
about so many things.
ASMR are essentially these whispering videos.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like mommies tucking babies in and
stuff.
So ASMR kind of reminds me of the same stuff.
Sometimes I wonder if the internet didn't exist, if a lot of these things wouldn't exist. Like, I think a lot of these
things...
They
would happen, but we would not know about it.
But I wonder even if also they exist more than they would exist because people
are
doing
it
for attention.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The fact that we're watching.
Robert Paul Champagne would not be putting out so much costume video.
Would the guy be swimming in poo? Would be the guy be dressing as a baby if he didn't know that people were watching?
The baby thing does happen as a fetish, but let's look at the poo thing for a second.
Yeah, let's actually. I was going to say I would like to look at that a bit more.
He would like to see the okay, yeah. And
that is a lot of poo.
That is a cesspool diver.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
And what's he doing? Is he like just sort of working down there or something?
Oh,
my
he
gosh!
He went under. Water? Is that the right word?
What's he doing down there? Has he got to fix something?
I don't know. No. He's just enjoying himself.
He's doing it for fun, huh?
Yeah, for fun.
His eyes are exposed.
Which I find extraordinary and difficult to understand.
Doesn't that mean that, like, you get bacteria in your eyes?
Yeah,
and
you
get, like, some sort of, bubonic plague or something like that?
Conjunctivitis, at least. Oh, look, we found some hair. Look. Oh, there's hair in there. Oh, my God. This is hard to watch.
So that is a person that's doing this for some... Yeah, I don't understand that.
No. Now, the question was, if there was not a video camera, would he have done it?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I also almost almost want to question whether or not it's even real poo. I mean, it could just be like mud or something.
Oh, I feel better about that.
Yeah, it's just sort of like an elaborate prank, you know?
You know the way your brain won't let you believe that your friends have died? That's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're looking at this and can't believe that somebody would be in poo.
Yeah. I just don't think that there'd be any reason to do that.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm glad I saw that, though.
The website was called The Live Leak.
Yeah.
Do they specialize in this sort of thing?
Kinds of videos. It's like an underground.
Should
YouTube
be called the live dump, not the live leak.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wonder if it's sort of a.
But I am glad I saw that.
All right, McRibs are back, everybody.
And I'm glad you showed me that.
I'm glad you're glad, Tom.
I wasn't expecting that today.
No, it's challenging.
I like the direction that you're taking
the new
show.
Thank you,
Dr. Drew.
McRibs are back. Let's see, take a look.
I love the scatological content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah.
I'm very proud. McRibs are back. Let's look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, McRibs are in season, and everyone's excited.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys love McRibs or love it as much as this guy.
Okay. Ooh.
What the hell?
That looks like the last video.
Yeah.
Let's take a dive in that. But,
he's all messy.
That's not
Yes.
You got to clean it. You know, you don't want messy hands when you're...
Not when you're eating McRib.
A McRib, yeah.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I've had a McRib.
Oh, come on.
Okay, guys, come on.
Okay, all right. That's enough. Even I draw the line somewhere.
Was that you, Dr. Drew?
That was not me, nor did I approve that clip.
That wasn't you?
No. I do not endorse...
Bone in a McRib?
No.
Is that boneless ribs in there? Not anymore. Yeah.
They love you, Tom. You're making them very happy. Well, I'm glad somebody's happy.
Yeah, yeah. This is your show, man.
They love...
You allowed that to happen.
No. They love doing that to me and my guests.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like, if we can be properly shamed or properly brought to near vomit, so it's like you're choking it down, nothing makes them happier.
Surprisingly edgy around here.
Surprisingly so.
Do you ever think that maybe... That could show up on TMZ or something like that.
That me talking?
Dr. Drew looking at McRib boning fetish films on his show, you know?
I don't know.
What's happening to Dr. Drew?
That really wouldn't happen, but you saying that might.
Is Dr. Drew okay?
Ever since he's been doing After Dark, there's concerns.
That's cool.
Tom Green raises a red flag.
Now, anyways, regardless of whether or not, where can I see that video again?
No,
I'm just like for later, like when I get home.
I think maybe E-fucked.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just send me a link.
Let's do some voice messages.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to planet Earth here. Yeah. Here we go. Voice messages.
Voice messages. All right.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Morgan.
Hi, Morgan.
So whenever I'm laying in bed, stroking my penis, you know,
there we go.
Trying to make the white piss come out the front butt.
Okay.
Sometimes, right before I'm gonna, you know, come, I get, you know, kind of tense in my legs like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really tense my legs, sometimes I can get my kneecap to pop. And when I time my kneecap to pop exactly the time as my white piss, it greatly intensifies the feeling.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Drew. Yeah. Somebody beat me.
Gotcha. Yeah. See, he's making the Rob Paul Champagne reference there.
Yeah.
I don't know of any such thing. So I'm
that happens.
Happens to you. I'm going to call it bogus. I'm going to just call it bogus. Let's get another one.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Jordan from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi, Jordan.
And I got a quick question about my poop. I've noticed that throughout the day, when I don't have my coffee, it's just super, super difficult. It's all hard, and it doesn't really fit out my asshole. But when I do have coffee, it's like super runny, and I need a good in-between. Now, I know I can get some stool softener, but that kind of upsets my stomach.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind giving me some tips and tricks on how to get a good, happy medium from my
body. Okay,
really
got it.
Metamucil, right?
Metamucil is exactly what I was going to recommend. Yeah. Metamucil would be a great, and maybe, back in the day, they used to use coffee as a laxative. It was actually, so maybe coffee, and maybe spread your coffee out a little bit, and then Metamucil, which is a non-absorbable bulk, take a bunch of that in the morning, maybe even some in the evening, and that should take care of that.
Fiber, right?
Listen carefully. You with me? It's what I recommended to you, sir.
Good fiber.
Good non-absorbable
fiber. Or just eat more vegetables.
You can put bulk in your diet. It's another way to do it too. But this kind of thing that he's describing, Metamucil, might be a little bit better for.
Yeah.
Next up, Bran. You can always use Bran also.
Hi, Dr. Drew. This is Andrew from Utah. I'm a big fan. And I am calling because I am confused about a possible medical situation with my wife. So every time she works out, even a little bit, we're talking like jog a quarter of a mile. I'm not in the best shape, but I try to get her to get out with me. But she literally will violently vomit for hours afterwards. And
whoa.
Even like pulling weeds in the hot weather sometimes will put her over the edge.
My goodness.
And I'm curious if that's a version of asthma. She doesn't have hyperventilation issues.
I don't know a lot
about asthma, but I'm wondering if she, what could be the biological response that provokes her to literally violently throw up and be sick for like 6 hours afterwards at almost any like more strain than moving groceries out of the car.
Right.
Anything past that and she's sick. Let me know. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and thank you. Bye.
Okay. She should see a gastroenterologist because any kind of unexplained vomiting needs an explanation. And this is a very unusual symptom. There are muscle disorders that can be associated with various kinds of weird metabolic disturbances. And I'm wondering if she maybe has a genetic syndrome, but that's a sort of down the line consideration. The first order of business is try to figure out why the vomiting. And that could even be gallbladder disease. It could be a lot of different things. It could be gastritis, esophagitis. I need to know a lot more about her and medications and that sort of thing. But by all means, see a gastroenterologist. That's kind of a serious symptom. And particularly if she has one of these muscle syndromes that can be, there's some bizarre muscle biologies that can have very, very strange symptoms associated.
Now, as a doctor, do you find this is something that happens? Because where, like for me personally, if I were to vomit for 6 hours.
Yes.
On a regular basis.
Or when I exerted myself.
I would immediately go to the doctor.
Yes, yes.
And I wouldn't like wait around a couple of months and then call into a podcast and ask.
I know, it's weird how people do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't air for
a few weeks after I call.
It's mortifying to me.
Like I would be immediately at the doctor.
Or they will call with extremely complex psychiatric problems that would take a few years to manage and sort through. Yeah. Like, solve it now.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
So how do you diagnose that? What's going on through people's minds that like when they don't seek medical attention? Is it they don't have health insurance?
Not usually.
Is it they're afraid of the cost of going to a doctor? Is it they're afraid of what kind of answer they're going to get?
There's that. And men don't like going to doctors at all, but this is a woman. It's their fear of the cost, and that fear is usually very unfounded.
Yeah.
And they end up using costly systems instead, which are like emergency rooms and that sort of thing, which are expensive. You don't have to do that.
And then it gets worse, and then it ends up costing more.
Right. Yeah. A lot of it is lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
A lot of it is lack of understanding how to use healthcare, which is stunning. People don't know how to use healthcare anymore.
Yeah.
So there you go. They call a podcast.
I'm alive because of my paranoia, because I went to the doctor right away and when I felt sick.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel sick with your testicular cancer?
I felt like some pain.
Something wasn't right. Oh, you had pain.
Some pain,
See?
Which is not a common symptom of that.
You're enlightened.
Yeah.
Voice message.
Something
how long would you have had to wait for your testicular surgery if you used the Canadian healthcare system?
It would have been fine. Yeah. I mean,
how long?
I know. I mean, we could talk about this in depth. I am a huge fan of the Canadian healthcare system. So
why did you have your surgery down here then?
Well, I live down here. Mm. Would have been weird to go home to go back there because I was living here. So
how long do you think you would have had to wait for the surgery?
It wouldn't have been an exorbitant amount of time. You know, maybe, you know, it wouldn't have been an outrageous amount of time.
How long did you wait here?
I got it pretty much right away. Yeah.
The same day.
Yeah. But there's, I think there's, you know, I think it's a complex issue.
It is a complex issue.
Like, for instance, I would have waited a lot longer here if I didn't have health insurance.
Possibly. I wouldn't have let that.
I'm saying, like, if I was one of the millions and millions and millions of uninsured people.
I'm telling you, that same doctor works at a county facility. You could have had the whole thing done for free.
But what I'm saying is if I'm one of the millions of uninsured people.
Uninsured, you could have gone to the county hospital, had the same thing done.
But I probably wouldn't have because I would have been afraid to go because I didn't have health insurance.
Right.
Whereas in Canada, I would have had my government-issued health card, and I would have gone to the doctor right away and probably been better off.
But if people knew how to use health care here, even when they don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, now you can sign up for Obamacare for very limited expense and it's covered. So it's lack of understanding how to use the system.
I just know so many people who don't have health insurance who
why would they not get California care in this day and age?
I have so many people that have that kind, like friends that work freelancers as you know. They have that, but that doesn't. It never works. Like they
California
go.
Care?
Well, they go. Oh, I called and they said oh, it's not. I can't go to this doctor, and it's just a big runaround. Yes, they're always confused true. About everything.
That's true.
Everything's always confusing.
Working the system.
So
is hard.
It just seems kind of like you know. Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to the doctor and get it taken care of?
But, yes. Yes. So now, but, and I'm just and I'm not saying I'm not I'm not taking a position on this. I'm just pointing out the trade-offs and the complexities.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
That it would be nicer if they were not so confusing. That's yeah. for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think that is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because people don't know how to use the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Another voice message.
Hi, it's Michelle. Dr. Drew, I've been on medicine for EV for about 2 months now. Orally and vaginally, and I was wondering, my gynecologist now wants me to try an over-the-counter boric acid
yes,
tablet.
Yes. Yeah.
Even the name sounds scary. I was wondering, what is your take on what this could potentially do to any of my organs?
No,
or
no, it's gonna be fine. Didn't we have this? Did I answer her question?
Do not attempt it.
No. She's thinking it's acid.
No, it's not. It's
not acid.
She's talking about bacterial vaginosis, which can be hard to clear up sometimes.
Bacterial vaginosis.
If this is a gynecologist, follow what he or she says. She's not making a recommendation casually on this kind of thing. It's hard to clear that up. Luckily. Yeah.
We don't got to worry about that.
We don't got to worry about that. It's one of the. If we did, if men had to take care of an internal system like that, God only knows.
Because right? Men don't have vaginas.
Correct. If we did, though, think about the mayhem.
Yeah. It would be weird if we had vaginas.
It would be weird.
Yeah, it would be a weird thing.
One more.
Hey, Daddy. Patrick from Colorado. My buddy Tim says that you can put something in your ass up to 7 inches before you cause serious damage. And I know said the okay symbol's about what you want. I just wanted to ask your opinion on that. Thank you. Keep in mind.
You can hurt yourself even with relatively not so long problems. You can perforate your colon. You can and the colon goes like this. You go up and then has a big S in it.
Yeah,
it's called the sigmoid.
Yours
colon.
Does or everybody's?
Everybody's.
Yeah,
and that you know once you get up past the rectum, then you got the sigmoid, and that turn can get missed sometimes, and people can hurt themselves.
Have you ever taken that turn?
I had a colonoscopy on Friday, so I've just taken that turn. Thank you, sir. Thank you for bringing it up, as a matter of fact.
You guys brought it up. I'm just throwing shit out there.
But
no
never,
pun intended.
Never taken it the way his buddy Tim or whatever his name was said. Tom, a pleasure always.
I love the new show. I love it. I love the turn this show has taken.
Yes, this show. Yeah. It takes very
all
sharp
sorts of turns.
Yes,
yeah.
It takes sharp turns.
Every kind of turn you can imagine.
Yes, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts and feelings and being a part of this. I really
appreciate
do.
It. Thank you.
And let's keep our, speaking of thoughts and feelings, let's keep good thoughts in our minds for our friends, John and Howard.
John and Howard.
That we miss.
Rest in peace.
And they were the important people in our lives.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Yeah. They were a very important, big part of both of our lives. And it's going to be weird going forward with them without them here. We're going to have to do some cool stuff in their memory and live our lives and try to make them proud.
A living tribute, yes. Yeah. I agree with that. I'll try to do the same.
Yeah. So. And I'm on tour now, by the way, which I wish Howard could, you know, I'm glad that Howard got to see the last 10 years of my stand-up because he was always such a huge proponent of stand-up comedy. You know, he owned comedy clubs early in the days. He represented a lot of comedians, including people like
Kimmel, Carolla,
Mike McDonald, Harlan Williams,
Bullard.
Yeah, Mike Bullard, Pat Bullard. So, but I'm on the road. So I've got shows coming up in all year. Go to TomGreen.com, click on the tour page, and I'm going all over the country all year.
You do anything locally here?
I'm always jumping up at the clubs in Hollywood and doing stand-up.
Do you go to the Ice House ever?
I do, yeah.
Let me know, because that's my backyard.
I think I'll be doing a not for a little while, but I'm doing a night there.
Please, I'll show up.
Yep.
That'll be great.
Thanks, Drew.
Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, doctor.
We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.